Hi, and welcome to Parent Talk with Bev, a Black British mother of West Indian descent with two children, 19 and 17. You know they've had birthdays, they've got older, and we're based in London, UK. Not an expert of any kind, just sharing my thoughts, opinions and experiences around parenting in the hope that it helps another parent or someone somewhere. So today's episode, question, family versus community. Can you have family without community? Is there a difference? Can we really have families without community? I mean, especially in light of recent events here in the UK, with the further easing of lockdown and, for me anyway, blatant, unfair and disproportionate responses to incidents that seem to be based on colour and location. And by that, I'm talking about Bournemouth and what happened in Brixton on a local estate. But I'll come back to that. Prior to COVID-19, the media celebrated the rich, famous and some not so famous people. We had reality stars and entrepreneurs thrown at us. And I recall the government really was having a push for people to set up their own business so that we'd be independent, if only to bring down the unemployment figures. But that's just me being biased. Anyway, or my perception, should I say. And over the last 10 years or more, there's been a noticeable effort to redevelop Lambeth and especially Brixton. So it no longer looks like the place that Black and ethnic people live, work, set up their own businesses or even buy homes. Redevelopment has a price, and the redesigning of Brixton or Lambeth by the local council has been a real, it's been uncomfortable for quite a few people. Who's lived here many, many years. You know, it just seems like the local council has given developers and new business traders more favourable deals in order to get rid of people who were there before. And they've been selling off prime land in Lambeth, and that includes the school and all the land that schools had. And they've been doing this for years. What's kind of interesting is that the land that they've sold off, Lambeth Council have projected, and this is when I was a governor, they projected back then that, you know, by 2019, they wouldn't have enough schools, hence why there was a lot of rush to extend or expand existing little schools. And many of them, you know, they were one form entry, which meant one class. Suddenly they were going to three form entry in 1 year because there was the demand. So it seems ridiculous that you would sell off the assets when you know that the local people need them. Anyway, the government redefined the affordable housing tag. Right? So really and truly, new housing developments came up and they had limited stock that meant flats or houses that were available for ordinary and local people. So the lack of social and council housing or the right to buy has displaced many families and, it could be argued, designed to break down communities. So today I'm talking with a couple of local parents about their attempts to maintain their local community. We're going to talk about pre, during and now easing of COVID. We're going to look at whether or not there was any impact of George Floyd's murder and the media's distortion of Black lives. Or these people are just trying to keep their community together, right? So let's listen to their voices and stories and see if we all don't have something in common. So hi, and welcome to my guests today. Would you like to introduce yourselves to our listeners, please?
My name is Gillian Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
I live at Angeltown.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I have four kids.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us today. And the next lady?
Hi, I'm Cam Nathan. I too am from Angeltown. Mm-hmm. I'm a teaching assistant and I have five children.
Thank you again for taking time to speak to us. So how long have you lived in your community, Angeltown? How long have you lived there?
And that, Gillian, I live here 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Kamika?
I've been here
been here just over 15 years.
Okay. So what was it like living in your community before COVID-19, before this lockdown? And if, was there any key things that you guys or the community was focusing on prior to this COVID-19 happening?
I'd
like to say that before COVID-19 and the lockdown, I felt the community was kind of disbanded.
Mm-hmm.
COVID has definitely brought everyone together.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a bad way that it was disbanded. I think people were just busy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always used to hear people saying, especially the focus was a lot on the young people, because it was just obvious that there wasn't enough resources within the area to support the young people.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel that the organisation.
Yeah, the organisation. Are you still there, Kimika? Listen, Gillian, are you still there? Everybody, you know that I'm working from home and that I am using technology.
I'm back. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Carry on. I'm just going to get Gillian back on the line. Go on.
Yeah.
Oh, you're still here. Great. Okay. It's me and my technology. Sorry, Kamika, go on. The focus was on youth, yeah.
Yeah, it was on the youth just because we knew that there was a lack of resources.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see that showed, because in terms of you know, certain things, you just you could see it was about the young people. So I think definitely before this, we had a community that really didn't care, but they just didn't have the time. Everyone say, yeah, I'm going to do something. I'm going to come to one of the meetings. I'm going to, you know, but the time, because everyone's busy working. You had to be out there, you know, making the money. And even for myself, like a parent, I want to get involved and do something. But, you know, you have work takes priority, isn't it? And then by the time you come and you're dealing with the kids, you haven't got time to go and sit in a community meeting. So this has definitely been a good time to sort of reset.
Mm-hmm.
And put priorities, and that is a priority, you know. Once we see our young people with certain behaviours, we know, well, we need to step in as parents and as a community.
Mm. Gillian?
Yeah, I fully agree with Kamika. The youths were a bit lost, not their fault. As a community, we weren't doing as much as we wanted to. As you said, we were a bit busy.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the COVID now, when everyone standing still,
mm-hmm.
I would notice that their needs need to be met. So because of that, now we're starting doing things that can help. Mm-hmm. So with me, I start cooking,
mm-hmm.
and I start and feeding the youth, because sometimes they're lost, so I just get them in and feed them.
Mm-hmm.
They will sit down and talk to me. They'll carry their problems to me, and even for me to get some laugh, some funny things they will tell us, and we just sit and laugh and joke, play ludi, play dominoes.
Mm-hmm.
So they need that guidance, and even sometimes not even to say, be strict with them. They just need a bit of love, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we can see it now,
mm-hmm.
because we come more as a team in the community, and we are listening to each other's ideas, and we are talking to the youth and finding out what are their needs.
Mm-hmm.
So this is more of an eye-opener for us to be more aware of what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're saying the change has been that you've come more close together as a community.
Yes.
You've been listening to each other, responding to needs that you can see.
Yes.
So is there anything that's made anybody angry? Because, you know, you're all talking, you're all listening. But is there anything that's spiked up that you think that the community are angry about?
Yes. we are angry for some things. If I could say, you heard about the incident that happened in Angel Town.
The news. But you tell us. This is your space. You tell us what happened.
Okay. Well, the youth wanted to have a barbecue because they have noticed that everywhere around England and all, everyone was having a barbecue, and they were saying it was unfair because every time they try to even sit outside two together, the police come. Mm. They tell them to move on. Oh, it's COVID. Oh, it's this. Or, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So they were frustrated, and they keep going in, and then they look on their social media, and they can see that everyone else is out having parties. And why they said, why is Loughborough having party? Why is Summer Leighton having party? Why is Clapham? And the police are not stopping them, I know. So we need to have one now.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided that they're going to be having one, or just the youth, they decided it came up. It was very good of them. So we heard about it. Well, I heard about it, and I passed it on to the group and said, okay, we're gonna go out as the adults and try to support them as much as us gonna go out and support them to police the party.
Mm-hmm.
We went out. Before that, I spoke to Lance, he's the liaison officer for Lambeth, the police liaison officer, and he was supposed to come and see me like 3 weeks prior, and he decided to come on the Wednesday, but they decided to have the party on the following Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
They changed their mind because of the weather and said they're going to have it on the Wednesday because the weather was very nice.
So I think it was the hottest day of the year, isn't it?
Pardon?
It was the hottest day of the year so far.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So they said I knew the night before that they changed their mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I still called Lance and said to him, if you can come down, but you are trying to have a barbecue, is it possible you can come down and, you know, kind of talk to us and let us know where we stand?
Yeah.
He came, talked to the youth, and we talked back to him, and he said, okay, he's going to go and speak to the chief and get back to me.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, we were having it, and we were having a lot of problem with the police, and they said they're going to turn it off. We're not having music. They called Lambeth on us. And we said, why is all of this happening to Angel Town? Everywhere else is having it. Let us know why you're so strict on us.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, because gang related and some things and youth going to be coming in and they're going to come with gun and knife or whatever. So we said, if you're here, then just make us have a small one and then, you know what I mean, we can carry on.
Mm.
It happened that the party went anyway, and we can see that it was getting a bit crowded. And we're like, oh, there's loads of people coming in. So the police decided that, okay, what time do we need to turn off do the youth need to turn it off? So one of the responsible youth went to the police and said, what time do you want us to turn it off? They said, what time do you think you want to turn it off? He said, about 10:30. So he said, okay, no problem. At 10 o'clock, the street was filled with people, and they still turned the music off. From 10 o'clock, myself and Lorraine and some of the other adults were out there, and all the elder guys were there. They were policing it and making sure there was no fight, no fuss, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It went on brilliant, nothing. Eventually, when the music came off now, I was at home, so I could hear the music off. So I went, I called Lorraine and Pastor Lorraine and said to her, where are you? She said, I'm at the football pitch. So I said, let me come down. I went down there, we stand there, and we were watching what the police were doing. The music put off. There was a girl playing music in her car, and Lorraine went to the police and said to him, why don't you tell her to turn the music off because we can see the crowd is gathering around the car.
Mm-hmm.
They said, oh, we don't want any animosity right now because it's kind of calm. So we said, but if she turn it off, you told us that you got a dispersal order.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you use it to let her turn the music off, tell her you're going to confiscate the car or something, and let her go? He said, oh, we're going to move up there. It took him an hour and a half to reach to the car. That was almost right where he was. The girl eventually turned the car off. Then they're moving the crowd along. And I'm saying to Lorraine, no, this don't look right. If we turn off the music at 10 o'clock, why is it taking an hour and a half to reach where the girl is? How long is it going to take them to get out of Angel Town? You got a dispersal order. Why don't they use it?
Mm.
She went back to the police. He said, oh, we're waiting for some more police to come. Waited. I was standing there with Lorraine for a very long time, and we were saying, no, this don't look right. It's not like they're setting us up for something, because we finished the party. The party finished. The youth them turn it off. All youth already gone home.
Right.
So why are they not disperse in the crowd and let them go home.
Right.
Why are they taking their time?
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a one step up, standstill. And we were worried and said, this crowd need to go. There's no Angel Town youths in there. Could you do your dispersal order and let them go? So it never came out. By the time they reached out to the hairdressing shop, there was another car playing music up there. They were dancing again. They kind of slowed down again. And then they were, then they just stopped again. And they started making the crowd a bit kind of close, because they were coming from two ends of Overton Road.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of blocked them in.
Right.
I don't know, because they were telling people that they couldn't go to the sites. They need to go along Overton Road, which if they had dispersed the crowd from the football pitch and onto Brixton Road, it would be less than 20 minutes.
Right.
But they were taking them the long way from one end of Overton Road to the other, up to St. John's School, all the way around.
Oh, so they were herding the crowd the direction they wanted them to go.
Yeah, but in the longer route.
Yeah, I hear you.
So we were worried and said, why the longer route? Why don't just burst them onto Brixton Road? Let them go underground and go onto Brixton Road, and that is an easier way.
Mm.
I can tell you that I don't know what happened after they passed, because I came home and I'm like, okay, look like it's going to go fine. They're coming out. Everybody's moving. No one's making any fuss. And I came home. I had a shower. By the time I went into my bed, I could hear the noise. I go to my back door because I can look down onto the street, and I could see all of the big rigmarole going on. And I'm saying, why is all of this happening?
Mm.
Then I was told later on, I didn't see, I'm just telling you what I was told.
Yeah, yeah.
I was told later on that they kind of caged them in, like a herd, like you kind of hold them all in so tight.
Mm-hmm.
So a police lady must have pushed a 14-year-old boy, and one of the older boys saying, why you do that? You don't have to push.
Mm.
And then another police took out a baton and hit the boy twice under his rib.
Right.
And that is when everything went AWOL.
It kicked off. And that's what people saw on the news when they were talking about a riot happening down there and all that kind of stuff.
They just had enough. The kids, they were doing the right thing. They had enough of the police. Because around this side, sorry, Kamika, around this side, police is utilizing the children to a point where as soon as they see them, they stop them, they handcuff them, they search them. And even if one searched them just now, the other one passing, they search them again. Right. And they search them again. And they more or less bully them. And I think they're just having enough.
So Kamika, did you want to put anything on that from what you witnessed or saw?
Yes, so I came later than Julian, because I live me and Julian live on the same road.
Right.
So I came out because my own kids were out there.
Right.
Well, young people, they're young adults, so they were out there. So I was out there with another neighbour, and it was a hot day. So we would have just normally been sitting out the front and talking.
Mm.
But we said, okay, let's kind of just kind of watch the thing,
mm-hmm.
make sure everyone's okay. You know, so saw a couple of young people that they got a bit carried away with the mood and that. So, you know, I was out there offering them water or tea and them things. But just we were watching, and I just wondered the same thing what Gillian was saying. I actually saw that where they did a line to block the entrance. So we thought, oh, good. They've done this now, so this means the kids, they have to go home now.
Mm-hmm.
And they've blocked it so no one else can come in.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the kids come back, so it seems like they must have just gone shop for food and come back, and the police let them through. So wondering, that was, why did you do that? Let them through. But then they wasn't letting anybody. So they're letting them through to go back into the where the party area was going on. But they weren't letting them through to go home. Some of them were like, I live at the end of the street. What I saw was that, a young lady, she lived at the end of the street. So I said to them, she lives at the end of the street. They're telling her to walk all the way round, which it would have probably taken her. Because when you walk all the way around, you buck up on the next set of police who's sending you back around. And remember, For those who know the Angel Town estate, there's like about 5 different entrances from the estate. Mm-hmm. But can you imagine, some people have reported that night, go one entrance, they're going to send you to the next, send you to the next, send you to the next. Remember, it's night time, you're hot, you're seeing, you want to go home, man. And you can see that you just live at the end of the road and someone's going to send you home. I was getting sick.
Mm.
I was getting vexed about it. I remember saying to the policeman, just let the girl choose. She live at the end of the road. Because they tried it with me and I'm like, my house is right there. You know, you're literally looking at my door.
Mm.
So please let her through. One of the policemen is like, the girl's coming through and he looked like he's ready to push down the girl. So I turned around and said to him, listen, you guys need to listen. One of them fanning me off like you don't want to hear what I'm saying. I said, you need to hear what I'm saying. What I'm saying can help you. This is a problem. And if you don't want to listen when we, the community, are talking to you, you go and push that girl now. What do you think is going to happen?
Mm.
What do you think would happen, Miss Bev, if you push that girl right there?
Well, if it was my pitney... If it was my pitney, I would get involved.
Right. Everybody would have seen, because that's exactly what happened before. So then they had that line there.
Yeah.
Then they start taking them time moving up. But at the same time, nobody was coming out. Even my neighbour said, why did I just have she couldn't even remember the name of the thing or call it. I said, megaphone. She said, yeah. So why didn't they just have a megaphone? What would have it taken for them to just go and be tech? Because we were even saying, no, you know, just go home.
Mm.
You know, but if not for our voice is little and we ain't going to go all the way around the crowd, that's not our thing. Police is there. Do your job then. If you've got this Section 60 from how long? Just do your job and disperse the crowd. They take time, they start next circle around them. So I start worrying now and say, they're going to tear gas the kids. Maybe they're trying to get them in one space. Let's watch and see what's going on. But spoke to one of the officers and he said, no, they're basically doing that circle, forcing them to go because they formed that circle around them. So everything looked fine and under control, but I was a bit concerned about how people were circling them and they just stood there, you know, not doing anything but was just a circle. But even that itself was a little bit intimidating.
Mm.
So then as Gillian unfolded what happened about, you know, they just started to lick up people on their foot with the batons and that. So when I saw the press thing in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and hearing what, that's what vexed me. Words like thug and vermin, etc., and people, everybody talking, people talking about parenting is out of control and can't control kids. But they talk about those policemen that felt that they needed to use a baton to control the crowd when the crowd was not even uncontrollable. I thought it was so funny. They were even partying in the middle with the police around them, and they decided they were still going to party. There wasn't even any music playing. They were just chatting and just doing their thing, but the police could have asked them to leave. I think it was really provoked, but the reports that we read,
I think you need to...
Otherwise, so I was vexed about that. Yeah.
When you're speaking, Kamika, just try and stay nearer to the speaker just so that I can make sure that we hear everything that you're saying, because I'm not able to monitor it at the moment. So this is, as I say, kind of live. You know what I'm saying, girlfriend?
Okay.
But well, thank you for that, because I think it's important for us to hear from people who actually live on the estate, who actually witness it, because the media obviously have a way of, well, I'm biased in the sense that I think that they always present things that happen to Black people in a more negative light. Because I was looking at Bournemouth and I saw thousands of people on the beach in Bournemouth. They weren't social distancing, they weren't doing nothing, and yet you send two little digger policemen to go tell them to keep social distance. And yet you come to, you're in Angel Town, in Lambeth, in Brixton, and you're heavy-handedly dealing with, you know, Black, young Black people, and you're using the excuse about gangs and thugs and using language about our children, which isn't our kids. You understand?
Can I tell you what happened even before the barbecue?
Go on.
There was a, when lunch came, there was a lady that came around that lives on the estate, and her son was there, and she And while Lance was talking to us, a son was there on a scooter. Then another member of the community spoke to him while we were there. By the time we walk off, he rode on his scooter to go home. The lady that was there got a phone call to say that they arrested her son. But I said, oh, they arrested your son. Your son just left here. So she said, Gillian, walk around with me. Walk around with her. They had him in handcuffs. They had her daughter in handcuffs as well.
Oh, my.
Then he asked the son, what happened? Why are you in the handcuff? He said, because I don't want to tell them my name.
Right.
I said, did they find anything on you? He said, no. So I said, then you don't have to tell them your name. It's by law. You don't have to tell them my name if they're not arresting you, if they didn't find anything on you. The policeman looked at me and said, oh, that's a bad advice. He needs to tell us his name or we're going to arrest him. I said, you can't arrest him for not telling you his name. The law says you don't have to tell you his name if you didn't find anything.
Mm.
He insists that he's going to arrest him. Then I asked the sister, why are they arresting you? She said, because I was telling them the same thing, that they don't need to arrest him because they didn't find anything. And then a policeman come over and handcuff her and push her hands up in the back and did all sorts to the girl. And they didn't care. And then all of a sudden, when you look, there was like five cars, bullet van, everything, just for those two, just for searching.
Oh my.
So anyway, he turned around and said, oh, we're gonna arrest him anyway. I said, what for? He said, before he obstructs the search. I said, but if before he obstructed the search, did you search him? Yes. So I said, why are you gonna arrest him for something that he did before, and then you already searched him, so that can't be why you're arresting him.
Mm.
He said, yes, I can do what I want. So he's been arrested. So I called Lance and said, because Lance did already leave. So I called him and let him know what's going on. I said, does he have to say he's telling this name if they didn't find anything on him? He said, no. So anyway, I said to the police, Lance is on the phone. He told me that he verified that he doesn't have to say his name. I said, it's up to him. I'm not going to break his rights and say, yes, go tell you his name. That's his right. So anyway, the boy said, I'm not telling their name. They arrested him. And I said, don't worry, I'll wait at Brixton Police Station to talk to him. And then he went to Brixton Police Station. They wanted to put him in an undercover car. He said, no, put me in one of the proper cars. Don't put me in your car. Because I know what happened when we go in your car. You don't beat us up in your car. So I said, well, I don't know what happened. And if he says he's not going in your car, you put me in one of the other car. So they end up put him in the other car, arrested him, arrested the sister. And then, but what they were trying to do is start a fuss for them to say, we cannot have the barbecue in Angelton, and this is what will happen. Because we started a war or whatever, and they're going to lock it up. But I kind of click real quick, and I said to the crowd, listen, stay calm. I've got somebody going to sort it out, because they're trying to stop the youth barbecue. And if they start a fuss now, they will carry it around there to say, this is why they're not doing it, because we already started a war on this side. And they tried everything to provoke the youth. And even the adults that was there when they were arresting the two children, they were saying to them, you don't need to do them like this. They hit the girl, and they're pretending like they're not doing that. One police even lift her hand real up in the air to make sure she hurt. And she's crying out and saying, you're hurting me. He said, oh, I'm just fixing the cuff. We have police around here that does not care one bit, because even when we started saying we're gonna report them, they know nothing ain't gonna happen. It's Angel Town. Ronnie look like a practice ground for police.
So what I'm hearing, okay, is because one of the questions I definitely had was, you know, has George Floyd's incident in America had an impact in your community, right? But what I think I'm hearing is that there was an impact before even George Floyd.
Years. Years of it. We've been going through it for years. And no matter how we talk to the police and said and report them, it had nothing happened. My son had been through, he had a little bit of spliff in a little bag once. He was what, 15 years old, 16. And he was walking with a cousin that gives a lot of trouble, and police and him had problems. Police couldn't catch him because they wanted him out of Angel Town, but he went to court and they said they is allowed. They dropped the case.
Right.
They turned around and said, yeah, I got you. What are you doing in here? You're not supposed to be in here. He said, I've been to court and they said that has been dropped. I turned around to my son and said, I've never seen you before. He said, where do you live? He said, I live here. He said, but I've never seen you. Have you been arrested before? He said, no. He said, let me search you. So my son said, no. So he resisted. They hold him down, drop him on the floor. And then they found a little bit of spliff, the weed in his pocket. They want to, as my sister would say, it's just the dust in a bag.
Yeah.
They tried to handcuff him. He had never been handcuffed before, never.
So
he said no. And then what they did, the police end up hitting him on the shoulder with the baton, bruised all of his, just to get his hand. They called me, I ran down there, I said to him, let me talk to him, he's my son, let me talk to him. You know what the policeman tell me? Excuse my French, he tell me to F off and do what with my mom. F my mom.
Oh, my dear.
Yes. And I took it and I walked bare feet from my house to Brixton police station because I said to him, what's your name? And he put up his hand and said, my name is Stuart. And I went, I said, okay, no problem. I went to Brixton and I said, I need to report a police officer. You know, when he came in and he saw me, you know what he said? Oh, you're still here then, ain't it? I'm like, okay. I reported it. They dealt with him, but I don't know what happened to him. But it's like it's nothing to them. Coming to Angel Sound is the same thing. They do it over again.
So I heard something about. So I'm astounded by some of the stuff I'm hearing because I think a lot of people read things in the paper and they don't see the flip side or even talk to people who live on the estate to even know what people are under. You know, do you understand what I mean? Because it sounds to me like you're in a war and the youth them on the estate are in a war with the police and the estate and the community. So I'd be tired. I'm sorry. I'd be tired of fighting.
That's absolutely true. And it's only a tip of the iceberg, the stories that Gillian and myself are sharing, because you have families that they're actually going to target them every minute. Them door kick off every minute. It's like their children cannot live in peace. You know, even you know, to the point where you're paranoid. I know, you know, one of my neighbours. Every minute, you know, it's traumatic is the word that she used, you know.
So what do you think is the motivation? What do you think is the motivation for this happening?
It's like and that's how I like to describe them as hyenas. That's how they seem. They just come around, sniffing around, they do what they do, and then when they're gone, they're like, oh, didn't find nothing. Oh, yeah, go. And, you know, that's how they talk. And you'll be like, no apologies, no thank you for cooperating, nothing like that. You just move. So I'm gonna call the card and talk out the elephant in the room. I think it's racism, miss.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's racism. I'm not going to say anything else. But
racism. It's not pure black people who live on that estate.
Listen, but it's pure black people telling you this story, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, we walk around and ask, it's pure black people. I live on a street. I live on the road that I live on. It's about six houses. But you know, it's a mix. I've got a white lady that live on the end. I've never seen her boy be stopped and searched. But the amount of times my son outside my road, outside my house, you know, outside his house on his street, humiliated in front of his neighbours. Even myself, because people twitch as well, you know, that's it. That's it about the community. Sometimes there's no one. Gillian don't live, she just lives a little bit up from me, but I've seen her and she's come out and say, what's going on? You know, but your neighbours don't necessarily do that sometimes. They just trouble. Your child is trouble, you know, but it's always the same kind of thing. I've even tried to say to my son, dress differently. Dress differently and see if they're going to
be
you know?
And does that work? Does that work?
No.
It don't work.
What they do...
Can't change the colour of your skin, is it?
That's true.
And the thing is, once they... Okay, I came from school about... Because I'm still at school at times. So I came from school about 2 weeks ago. Came into the house, no one outside. By the time I reached upstairs, my daughter called me, Mom, they got Ty outside. I said, one of the artists.
a young youth. They're trying their best to change their life, but the police ain't gonna, and then they're not stopping with them. They don't care. So he came to ride a scooter from Chua Little Gate and come through, cross on the, he has to cross the road and come in, come to my side. He came to see me, because they call me Auntie Jillian. They know what time I come home. They know that I'll be cooking food, so they know they're ready here.
Mm-hmm.
So he came on his scooter. So he said when he came through, there was four police car undercover cars. He knows them. Everybody knows them. They come around and antagonize them. They don't care. And he said he came through two of them and come across the road. He said from he saw them, he's like, oh, they're going to stop me. So anyway, he ride the scooter and he came up to my door. They jump out the car, two cars on one side where he cross over, and another one go all the way around to kind of like must be blocking in or whatever. So he didn't do anything. They went and they hold him, and there was three police each in each car. There's six police on the side and three on the other side, so nine police.
And one
when I go outside,
and one youth.
One youth. When I went outside, they said, "Oh, do I know him?" Because my neighbor came out. He doesn't speak English, and they asked if they know him, and he said he was going there to his auntie, and the neighbor said he don't know him. So I said, because he ain't coming to him, he's coming to me. I said, I know him. Ask him any question about me, ask me any question about him. I said, why are you uncuffing him? He's not running anywhere.
Mm.
He's not going anywhere. You know what? I said, why are you cuffing him? Why are you stopping him? Hear what the policeman said? He rode the scooter on the pavement, and that's a charge. The boy coming from St. John's School, go to the Black Gate, has to ride on that bit, cross there, and the little pavement there to come from, and then cross the road to come over by me. He rode the scooter on the pavement, so that's what he's charging him with. I said, does that sound like it makes sense to you? Oh, when we're searching him, and then he asked him what his name, and he wouldn't tell him. He said, oh, we're gonna arrest you. I said, tell him your name. Because guess what? I said, you are clean. You have nothing against your name. Oh, we want to see if you got as well out, and you want to see if you got any charges that you're not, you haven't been gone to, because we know you're famous. We know you're familiar to us. I said, so if he's so familiar to you, why you're asking him his name? You should tell him his name.
Mm.
So he goes, no, let me do our job. I said, you can do your job, but I'm not moving. I'm standing right here. They call up, they didn't find anything, they have to take the handcuff off. And I'm looking at them, and they didn't even say, sorry, they don't care, they don't even, as far as they're concerned, the youth have no right. They can do whatever they want. We have a black one in here, and he's the main focus on bothering the kids, because he looked like they'd send him out and say, do your thing. And he's bothering them, threatening them, calling them, oh, you know, I heard you're going to have barbecue, but you ain't got none, though, you're not doing it. So we report them. But I don't know. We as adults, we have this group that we said, if we any youth see the police, they have to call the adults. We put it on the group, and a few adults have to go out there.
Yeah.
But we know they're going to target them because of this. They had to run out of Angel Town. They're going to turn around now, and they're going to come for them full force. So they kind of calm down now, but we know they're coming.
So, okay. Why? I mean, I was looking forward to this
Baghdad.
Interview.
We're
but
in Baghdad.
I was listening. Yeah, it sounds like you're in Baghdad. It does. And I'm laughing because I'm almost like, and I'm not laughing because I think it's funny, because sometimes you just cannot, I cannot believe what I'm hearing. And the first reaction I got is like, really? And then
we
the
told
next.
This to the superintendent. We told this to the superintendent when he came here the day after, and we told him everything. We told him, and he ain't come back to us. We said, go look on the body cam, the police body cam, them, and let us know who started the war first.
Mm.
Who done? We're not saying everything is right or anything like that, or this, but they the children are moving, and you hit them.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted something to happen, so go look. They haven't come back to us or no.
So
like, can we? No, nothing.
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
Go on. I don't want to be ever saying that I'm condoning violence. But as you heard, you know, this thing was not unprovoked, and this was just kind of enough is enough. And back to your question about George Floyd, is that, you know, a lot of the times we hear this thing about America, even before George Floyd and people being shot and that "don't shoot me" campaign and that. It's right here, and I think a lot of the time in Britain, we're much in denial. And that's to the police what Miss Gillian said, you know. I remember years ago, me and another neighbour, we spoke, and the police was in such denial. Oh, this is not happening. So we said, come take a walk around town and watch and see how your boys are behaving. But we all know anyway, that whole schoolboy clique anyway, they're not going to rat out on each other. But what I must say, what happened, you know, and the same thing with George Floyd. I think it was Will Smith that was saying, it's not that it's become more racist, it's just that racism is being filmed now.
Yeah.
But immediately the next day, you know, MPs want to cut the area and find out what's going on after we've been talking how long and wanted you to come and see the lack of provision in the area. Superintendent now won't come talk because what his boys are hurt. You know, day, the youth them in this estate, you know, they made the world, you know, make the world know that their lives matter. And, you know, I'm not condoning violence, but, you know, sometimes you talk, you know, what else are you going to do?
So I was under the impression, right, that that there's been redevelopment that's been happening in Angel Town.
No.
And that there was an idea that you guys, that the community wanted a community space, like a community centre, and that part of the redevelopment was that you were going to be given a particular place to be able to have a centre for the community to meet and for the young people to have activities that would engage them. Is that not the case?
Tamika, you want to talk or let me talk? You said given the space. given the space? No.
Hello? Hold on a second. Given a space, go on.
So we were this space, a real prominent space in Angel Town, and it, for years, many groups have come up with solutions, and many groups have said, you know, give us this space, even when there was a building on there, you know, let's develop it into some form of community space, you know, training space, all sorts of brilliant ideas have come through the pipeline for that, and Lambeth just keep on saying year after year, no, no, and just stamping it. No, no, no.
Can I say something before that? The space was originally Angel Town. On the map, it says it's a part of Angel Town.
Yeah.
What Lambeth did, they redo the map and take it out and say it, the space, the land belonged to Lambeth.
Yeah. That's what I heard with that history. So even that is very... very snaky, very
fishy, yeah.
But I remember being a part of groups, and you used to have a council member run called John Kerridge. It was his thing to sort of deal with buildings and space, and he was very helpful, very supportive. So you'd have like Lambeth representatives that were very helpful, very supportive, and I think themselves were genuinely shocked as well, because they really worked with the groups to kind of bring everything up to speed, so that actually thinking for the space was kind of promised. And you know, although we walk away and say Lord, Lambeth did promise this and that and they didn't deliver, I think these council members that used to come and support, they themselves thought that, you know, sure enough that it would be given to the people of Angel Town. To cut a long story short, that hasn't happened. Now we're hearing that it's 17 new homes are to be built on the space. We are kind of hoping that some community provision will be within that. But my worry is, you know, is that because if you look around Angel Town and the surrounding areas, and we all know the gentrification going on, these are not homes that...
They're not going to be homes you can afford.
No.
Yeah. They're not for ordinary people, because me can't afford them.
They're not for ordinary people. And I think the whole thing and trying to always get our kids and everybody there, every minute, them a ball, Asbo. I think that's all part of the plan, is, you know, a bit divisive. They're trying to get certain people out of the area because certain other type of people are coming in the area. And my worry is that, okay, it won't stop there. But as far as the community space, no. And as far as, I think, you know, the people who are the estate management board, you know, I don't think they're talking up.
Well, first of all, how many of you parents on that board? Okay, so no, there's a whole heap of questions, there's a lot more questions. There's a lot more stuff that needs to be done, and I'm very aware that we're like already 45 minutes in.
Yeah. And
people's concentration, they're gonna log off. You understand? So yeah. I want to ask whether or not you would be willing to do another interview to look at this specifically in more detail, right? Number one. Yeah. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not finished talk yet, you know. We just start talk.
Huh? That's the tip of the iceberg.
The people are going to be fed up. But actually, we're talking about saving. We're talking about a legacy for our kids.
Yeah,
we're talking about a community, having a community for the families that we're raising to invest in and to build in. You understand? To feel like we got something and they have something. Otherwise, we're just mashing up our gums for no reason, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I know what your next steps are. I don't know what your next steps are, but what would your next step be? What do you want listeners to do? If people are angry and they hear, like I am, upset about Wagwan, what next steps do you suggest at this point?
Go, Kamiko.
I think at this point, it's in terms of the police, you know, as Julian was saying, one of the suggestions through the group was that when you do see this, you know, you stop. You stop making assumptions and assuming that, you know, it's just badness and everything like that, because it's not all what it seems, even if so, because no one's not saying it's not a stop and search should happen. It's just that the way in which it's done, they sort of policing the police. That's what we need to do. We need to form as a community and unite and police the police. Get out there with your phone, you know, and video them what's going on. And if you're in any sort of legal field or anything like that, start educating people, start educating the young people so they know their rights, because they will behave differently as well. When you know your rights, start citing your rights. And, you know, knowing that, listen, you stop and search me, you don't need to put a handcuff on me. I ain't gone nowhere. You know what I'm saying? If I don't want to give my name and you've not told me that I've been arrested, you know, that shouldn't be cause of arrest. Because a lot of the time with the stop and search as well, it's just they're saying resisting arrest. You know, but you didn't really tell me, you know, I'm not really seeing for, you didn't confirm any of your suspicions. You didn't find no drugs on me, you didn't find no weapon on me. So what you arrest me for? Because I shrugged, because you pulled the handcuff around me my hands too hard? That's not good enough. So once people know that, so if you are in the legal field, get out. I think it's about communities uniting, having more conversations, more platforms like this. And that's how change starts. More. But it's, you know, it's worth it.
Julian?
Yeah, I second that with Kamiko, because I don't pass, it doesn't matter if it's a stranger in Brixton, anywhere I go, as long as I see police holding someone, I go and say that, you're right, do you want me to call someone? And they said, if they said no, then I'm not moving. If they said yes, then they're okay. Then I said, okay, make sure. But I don't pass people, because I've been through police killing my uncle in Leicester, the same way they killed George Floyd in 1992. And no justice has come to him even today. So with me, I'm aware of what they can do. So I'm on the alert always. So we need people to come in. What I would like is someone to who has, as Kamika said, who has knowledge of the law, if they can volunteer to say they can come and talk to the youth them to help them to know the law. If we have anyone who wants to try and see if they can get them some apprenticeships, if they can get them some jobs, you know what I mean? Just take them out of the area, see if we can, they can come and talk to them. Lift their spirit. Some black, strong black man who can show them another way of living, of getting out of this area, because most of them don't even come out of the area, because they know if they come out, police catch them outside. It's not even the youth that they're running from, you know, it's the police. They can't run to the police, they're running from the police.
So how would somebody get in contact with one of them?
Well, you, someone, if someone want to get in contact, I've got an email address. Kamika's got an email address. And my email address is...
Hang on. Before we just spend it out to the whole world, I'll tell you what. Anybody's interested, right, in getting that information, contact me, right? And then I will pass them that information. Because at the end of the day, you've both been very open about what you see is happening on your estate, what's happening for in your own families. You understand? And I still need to protect you, even though you want to open up yourselves to get help for the young people in the on the estate. There is a there's a way in which this can be done. We need to unite and organize ourselves as a community. And you need a space, you know, in order to, you know, you can't do everything on the road. But you know what's brilliant about us is that we are adaptable. Just even if you take away a community center that you promised us, right, and you want to give us what's it? I hear that they want to give you, rather than a community centre, they want to give you what, allotments? Minonua? What?
Who are going? They're not even giving us that.
Well,
they're not even giving us that.
This is
allotment comes with the 17 flats for the people who is going to be living on the 17 flats. They ain't got nothing to do with us. They're not giving us nothing.
Nah.
They're even taking away car park space from us to give to the people that they're making the 17 houses for. They're taking so much things as well as that space.
All right, we definitely need to come back.
Yeah.
This is the beginning of a conversation, okay? Yeah. And we're going to get clearer. We're going to get more organized. We're going to get more specific about what we want. And we're going to get more voices involved, because you do have power. You just don't see it yet. You understand? This is what I'm here to tell you. You have power. Yeah. You just don't see it yet. And they know you have power. That's why I don't want you to get organized. But organized, we have to get organized. This is Beverly this is Beverly the organizer coming out. But you know, look, ladies, I thank you so much for your time. Yeah, I'm definitely going to spit this out. I'm going to listen back to it. And you know, people need to hear. And if people want to get involved, I'll link them into me, and then I'll link them to you. All right. But in the meantime, my conversation's not finished with you. I'm coming back to you, but off air. You understand?
Okay.
So I just want to say thank you for listening, everybody. You know, I'm left wondering where my children will live and what community will be around for them to attach themselves to. And, you know, it doesn't matter where we've been through COVID. It doesn't matter what we may think or feel. There are real lives being impacted by some of the actions that are happening out there. So let's learn to be advocates. I heard that these ladies talk about a parent group. Anybody who lives on the estate who knows these ladies, you need to reach out to them. And the more that we all organize as parents to protect our young, the better the village will be. Because if we don't do that, the young may turn around and burn down the village. And we don't want that to happen. So on the Nowhere for Do, share, like, subscribe. It's on Bleeding iTunes, Spotify and blah, blah, iTunes, Spotify and Google. I got to tell you all that. But at the end of the day, right, this is real lives. These are real people. Come and support. Thanks for listening. I'm out.